knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who recites once durood upon me, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 times mercies upon him. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amir ahl sunnat damat barakatumul aliyah, in his booklet Ehtiram-e-Muslim, The Respect of Muslim, writes a beautiful story of Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was basically a tailor. A fire worshipper would come and give him his clothes to get them sewn by him, and he would give a fake queen to Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Once Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was not at his shop, and that fire worshipper came, and that time the assistant of Hazrat Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh didn't take the fake coin from that fire worshipper. Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat came and that assistant told him that so and so fire worshipper came and he tried to give me fake coin, but I didn't accept. Hazrat Abdullah Khayyat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh very regretfully said, you should have taken that fake coin, because since last many years he is giving me that fake coin and I am accepting every time. Why? Because I know if I don't accept, he will give that fake coin to other Muslim, and I don't want to see any Muslim suffering loss because of that fake coin. Dear viewers of Madri channel, this beautiful story tells us about the mindset of our pious predecessors. They were so polite, they were so fair, and they were so upright that they didn't want to see any Muslim, although he is unknown, suffering any loss. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. So being a businessman, what is our mindset? If we are doing any business, so we are always looking at our own profit and benefit. We don't think about the loss which other Muslim is going to suffer because of us. Every time our whole world is our own being, and all the time we are running behind our own profit and benefit. Allahu Akbar. Dear viewers of Madri channel, as you know that we are discussing the Islam, and then the benefits of being Muslim, and then the comforts and ease which we are enjoying because of being Muslim. In last silsila, talking about Ibadat, Mufti Sahib gave us beautiful Madni Pulse. Before going to Mufti Sahib for the first question, I think let me tell you what we learnt in last silsila, and that is that Islam is not a difficult religion. Some people, they say that when we are busy in Ibadat, so we are all the time busy in Ibadats and we don't find time for other things. No, this is not the matter. And then Mufti Sahib told us that, for example, worship, which is one of the most important pillar in the entire building of Islam, and that does not take more than 2 hours if we are reading with full manners and adabs. And then coming to the zakat, so that is only 1 out of 40. Coming to the Hajj, that is only once in life and you can complete it within 5 days. So in this way, the whole life is for us, for our other worldly affairs. So let's go to Mufti Sahib and ask him, Mutsab, I would like you to, shed a little bit more light on the same question which I asked you, that are there some difficulties in ibadats or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we're discussing regarding worships, some aspects of worship, and the first part was the time we give or the wealth we spend for performing these worships. So how much is that? So that was few. Means in offering prayer, the time is less. In performing Hajj, the time is less. In paying zakah, the amount of spent money is less. So now, the second point I would say, if we think about that time and wealth, which is remaining after performing these worships, that is much more bigger than the spend time and wealth. As in offering prayer, if you spend 2 hours in offering prayer, so then 22 hours you have. If you spend 10 days or 15 days for performing Hajj, so then the rest of the life you have. If you spend 1 out of 40 in for paying zakah, so then you have 39 with you. And similarly in fasting in the month of Ramadan. So that is the second point. The third point, when we look at the benefits and advantages of these worships, those are beyond our imagination. If we look at the advantages, what we gain in hereafter, those are much more. As what were worships? The last was reciting Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we recite Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so on each Salawat, minimum we gain 10 virtues. And what is the maximum we can't imagine? That might be millions, in millions. And through reciting Salawat, we get connection with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we strengthen our connection with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the matter of remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. When we remember Allah Azza wa Jal, there are some words or there are some awrad. If we recite those, so we can't imagine the reward of those tasbihat as the reward of Subhanallah wa bihamdi Subhanallah al-Azim. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, referring Hadith al-Qudsi, that whosoever recite this wird, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim, so this one wird will fill the scale of his reward on the Day of Judgment. That is one virtue of that recitation of tasbih. And other than that, there are many. Then the matter of reciting the Holy Quran. So if we recite the Holy Quran, even just one word, if one word contains 4 letters, on each letter we will get 10 virtues. So means if we recite only one ruku, which might be less than one page or more than one page. So if we recite one page of the Holy Quran, so then we can gain thousands of virtues only with spending a few minutes in the recitation of the Holy Quran. And through recitation of the Holy Quran, we can strengthen our connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the matter of Hajj. So the matter of Hajj, when a person performs Hajj, so when he comes back as he is born at the same time. Meaning he gets free from all of his sins. All of his sins get removed, get forgiven. Similarly, the matter of paying zakah. When we pay zakah in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, so on each penny what we spent in the path of Allah, we might get 10 times more, we might get 700 times more, we might get 700,000 times more. And then there is no limit for that. As Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَاللَّهُ يُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah will increase for whom He wills. So He can increase more than many millions. The reward of that one penny and that one rupee, what we spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, the matter of fasting. So the reward of fasting, Allah Azza wa Jal said, fasting is for me and I will give the reward of fasting myself. I would be the reward of that fasting. And in the matter of offering salah, so when a person offers salah, that time he is in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and he is speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal that time. So these are those advantages what a person receives. Now the worldly benefits of these worships. When we recite Salawat ala Nabi, when we do remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, when we recite the Holy Quran, so in these worships, we get peace of mind, we remove our stress and burden of our mind, and we get some spirituality that causes peace of our mind and comforts in our life. And that is very obvious even in those countries where there is no concept regarding Allah Azza wa Jal, Ma'adallah. Even in those countries, their psychologists give some aura to recite to their patient. Recite these kind of words so that you can get peace. And Alhamdulillah, we have gained these aura and wazaif and recitation and salawat ala nabi from Allah Azza wa Jal. And really, whenever we are in trouble, if we start reciting Quran, reciting tasbihat, reciting salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, immediately we get peace of mind. And that time we feel some comforts and some peace in our heart, in our mind. So that is the worldly advantage of these worships. The worldly advantage of performing Hajj. Now it is open secret and it is a unanimously accepted fact. The people need some break in their jobs, in their business. Because when they continue to do any job, any business, so after a while, after a few months, they will get fed up with that. They need some break, they need some holiday so that they can refresh their own selves and they can prepare their mind for working more. So Alhamdulillah, Hajj is the best way for that, because when we go for Hajj, now we abandon all our duties and responsibilities and we present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we get spirituality and we get that break which is the need of our life and which is the need of our business and job. Then the advantages of paying zakah. Now it is also another fact in this world that every person is supposed to spend some of his wealth for poor people, for needy people, whether he believes in Allah or he doesn't believe, whether he is Muslim or not. But now every person is emphasized upon to spend some money for poor people so that these poor people can survive and this person can do some service for those poor people. So now when it is fact, Allah Azza wa Jal has made that obligatory upon us to help these poor people and to spend some portion of our wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the another benefit, the more we spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more we gain from Allah Azza wa Jal as well. Even in the form of worldly wealth, we receive that back. The more you spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you will earn. The more you will earn in future, and that excellence and reward for every person, whether he is Muslim or not. That's why we observe in our world those people who are not Muslim, but they spend for poor people, they feed poor people, they earn more than other people. If we mention the name of some people in the world who are not Muslim, but they spend for poor people a lot, so they are earning more than other people. So that is the very apparent and that is the obvious advantage of spending wealth. So when we spend wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, on one side we are gaining reward, on the other side we are attaining and we are acquiring the worldly advantages of that spending as well. Now the matter of fasting. The matter of fasting is too much rewardful that now those people who sometimes who are sick and they don't have any kind of cure, now the doctors suggest them to do some kind of fasting, mean to remain hungry for a while so that through that hunger and fasting they can get that cure. So the fasting is cure for many diseases. And as for people like us who eat whatever is available to them, so for those people fasting is very useful because it reduces cholesterol and many other harmful things from the body. So that is the worldly advantage of fasting. Then in offering prayer, hundreds of advantages, worldly advantages are in offering prayer. As when we offer prayer, before that we make wuzu and we must be in the state of ghusl. So for offering prayer, when we make wuzu, so we clean our body, and when we offer prayer, so during offer prayer, when we focus our mind only upon the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, that we are in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and we are speaking to Allah Azza wa Jal, that time we reduce our stress, we remove our burden of mind, and we get spirituality, we get peace of mind. And the prayer is one kind of meditation. Prayer is one kind of exercise. It means when we offer prayer, we get spiritual benefits in the form of meditation, and we get physical advantages in the form of exercise as well. So these are the worldly advantages of these worships. So that's why I was saying, though there might be some difficulties, but the reward and the benefits and the advantages, what we gain against that, that is much more than those difficulties. For gaining these kind of things, we do a lot of things. Even, for example, for increasing our wealth, a lot of things we do. For making our health better, we do a lot of exercise. But through prayer, through spending the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, through performing Hajj, we can reduce our stress, we can get peace of mind, we can get spirituality, we can get wealth, we can get physical advantages. So when for other activities and for other actions, to get these benefits, we can do some other activities, actions. So why not these religious duties and responsibilities, which can give us benefits more than other things?
Subhanallah. Achha, Musab, as there is a group of people who complain that there are a lot of difficulties in Islam, on the other hand, there are some other people as well, meaning they follow Islam, they are practicing Muslim, but they have very bad habit of, you know, procrastination, delaying the thing. They want to offer Salah, but they delay it until it becomes very heavy upon them. Hajj is farz upon them, but they are delaying. So my question is that what is the reason that people, they find offering Salah or these kind of religious duties very difficult, and then they delay it? What is the reason, and how one can break this habit of, you know, procrastination or delaying the worships in his life?
Procrastination is done because of some reasons. One reason might be only nature. The nature of some people is to delay everything, to procrastinate everything. So though that is their worldly matter or their religious matter, so they are always procrastinate in doing those jobs. If that is the matter, so then knowing and learning the harms and disadvantages of that procrastination is very important. So as, for example, offering prayer in time is first, and offering prayer after the time means delaying prayer till the time finish, that is haram. So now if someone offers prayer after the time has finished, so then he must know the harms and the warning regarding missing any prayer. So if he reads that and he thinks about that, so then he will come to know, when I am offering prayer, so why I do that procrastination? It would be very useful for me. Ji. When I am offering prayer, so I would offer a prayer according to the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just because of my nature, just because of my bad habit, I am doing that job, but I am committing sin as well. So that's why I think if the reason is nature, so then I think through learning and through knowledge, it will be removed. The other reason sometimes is the preferences and the priorities of person. Sometimes when you have some priorities, so you will prefer that thing which is more important for you. If the job of a person is his first priority, so he will prefer his job over offering prayer, over doing other jobs. And if his first priority is worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and all the other priorities are after that, so then he must prefer his worships over those things. So now it depends upon the reason. If that is the reason, so for removing that kind of hurdle and obstacle, we must think about our priorities. What are our priorities? Being a Muslim, the priority of every Muslim must be worship of Allah Azza wa Jal and following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. First, we have to fulfill our duties and responsibilities. After that, we should go to other jobs. So if that kind of mind is made, so then I think very easily the habit of procrastination could be removed very easily.
SubhanAllah. The viewers of Madri channel, it's all about our priorities. Being a Muslim, our first priority should always be obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Salah is the most important worship in the Islam. So it is our responsibility to all the time care about Salah rather caring about our business. Because some people, they have been observed that when they are on their shop, so now their business is their topmost priority, and they are engrossed in taking money and giving money and counting money. They are all the time busy in counting the things which they have in their shop, and now they are making plan to buy the things which they don't have at their shop. The viewers of Madri Channel, being a Muslim, the first thing which we should think about is that when we reach our business, we should have that when the time of Salah will come and I will go for offering Salah. Allahu Akbar. So very beautiful, it's all about our priorities. There are some people, they say that, okay, so as for worships are concerned, so we can find concession and some sort of ease in our worships. But coming to the selling and purchasing or the business, that is very difficult. Even some of them, they say that if we start following the rules of Sharia in our business, then we won't be able to make any progress in our business. So what is your answer to these type of people?
Oh, I would say, is there no person in the whole world who is following Sharia in his business and in his jobs and he's not successful in that?
There are many people.
Ji. There might be hundreds and millions of people Ji. Who are following Sharia and they Ji. Are running their business and they are following the commandment of Sharia in the matter of their jobs and they are successful. Basically, if we think about the commandments of Sharia regarding business and jobs, what are those? The first commandment is that our business and our job must not make us neglectful from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the main commandment which has been mentioned in many places in the Holy Quran. We have discussed that matter in many ayah. La tulhikum amwalukum wa la awladukum an dhikrillah. That is the first commandment. So now I would say, how many people in the world, they are running their business, they are doing their jobs, and during their job and business, they offer prayer, they remember Allah Azza wa Jal, they recite the Holy Quran, they follow the commandments of Sharia, they do all their religious responsibility and duties. They are doing that. And all their businesses and their jobs do not make them neglectful from these duties. As in some countries, as we know, at the time of prayer, all the shops are closed. But they are running their business, they are doing their jobs. And there is no harm and there is no disadvantage to their business. They are doing everything, the first thing. The second thing is that there are very less commandments of Sharia, which are the commandments of Sharia, but they are not the rules of government and rules of any constitution. For example, consuming interest is haram in Sharia. According to the law of many countries, that is not unlawful, that is lawful. But these things are very less. Consuming interest is haram. Giving interest is haram. Taking interest is haram. But other than these, most of the commandments of Sharia are those which are unlawful according to the constitution of every country.
Ji.
As earning lawful and avoiding and abandoning unlawful, that is the rule of every country. To deceive any person is unlawful. To tell a lie is unlawful. To take bribe is unlawful. To give bribe is unlawful. And to sell fake things is unlawful. To mix low standard things with good standard things is unlawful. These are unlawful according to the law of every country. And these are unlawful according to the commandment of Sharia as well. So these are the commandments of Sharia. And these are the rules of every country as well. So if Sharia is difficult to follow in that regard, so it means then the follow the law of every country is very difficult. Then because of the law of country, the people are following those rules and they are running their business according to that rule and they are doing their jobs according to their rule. So why not according to the law of Sharia? So that is the third thing. So there are only three things. The first thing, our business, our job must not take us away from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is very obvious thing because we are the bondman of Allah Azza wa Jal, so we have to follow the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and we have to act upon Sharia. As a Muslim, that is our responsibility and duty. The second thing, there are few things which are haram and unlawful according to Sharia. So those things might not be haram, might not be unlawful according to law. But because when Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden us from doing that, so now that would be our responsibility to avoid, to abandon those things. And the third thing that is common between Sharia and the law of country, when country is forbidding from many things to do, And similarly, Sharia is forbidding us from doing so. So we have to follow Sharia, and through that, when we will follow Sharia, at the same time we will follow the law of country as well. So that's why I think fulfilling the commandments of Sharia regarding business and job, it's not difficult. If you go to the depth of the commandments of Sharia, as what are the commandments of Sharia regarding business, what are the commandments of Sharia regarding jobs, so there is a certain list. There might be 10 commandments regarding business, there might be 10 commandments regarding job. But when we think about the spirit of those commandments, so we will accept the truth that really Sharia has given us those commandments in which we have our own benefits. And if we follow those commandments, so really we will be safe from many disputes and many problematic things in our business and jobs.
You have, mashallah, meaning proved with your beautiful answer that it is not so difficult as we are thinking. Coming to the advantage and disadvantage, for example, in my understanding, if someone is running his business according to Sharia, he is abiding by the laws of Sharia, so he will be more successful than other businessmen. For example, if he is not deceiving others, so other people, they will say that this is the most honest businessman, let's go and have business deal with him. If he is not lying, if he is not cheating, so in this way, he is going to earn reputation and good reputation than others. So do you agree with me that if someone is abiding by the laws of Sharia, he will be more successful than others?
That is obvious, and that is very open thing. Because when we follow Sharia in these matters, Muslim businessman, he doesn't deceive any person, and he doesn't cheat any person, and he doesn't sell substandard products. So really he will gain name and fame among people, and he would be considered as trustworthy person in the eyes of those people.
Ji, subhanallah. Acha Musab, then there are some other aspects as well which we discussed. There are some other departments of Islam. We only discussed ibadat and the business, but there are other manners, akhlaqiyat, and other things. So what do you say about those things? They are not difficult. Some people, they say that they are also very difficult.
I think all the other things are unanimously praised things in the eyes of people. For example, the matter of akhlaqiyat, particularly in the sense we are taking that word, the good qualities of heart. So who will deny the importance and the beauty of good qualities of heart? If a person is sincere, so who will say, no, yeah, that is wrong? That is very good. Being sincere is very good thing. Then all the other things, as being patient, paying gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, and having the love with Allah Azza wa Jal, having the love with Akhirah. So all these things are unanimously praised things. On the other hand, the wrong habits, the evil attitude, so that is discouraged and criticized by every person. If a person is showing off, or he is jealous of other people, he has envy in his heart regarding other people, he is not the well-wisher of other people, all the time he runs behind wealth, runs behind his business and jobs, and he doesn't fulfill the duties of his family, of his children, of his wife, and all the time in his mind there is only one word, and that word is wealth. So who will praise that person? Who will like that person? So these are the commandments of Islam and Sharia regarding the matters of qualities of heart. That is the first thing. The second thing, the second kind of the commandments of Sharia was regarding society. We have discussed that in society, Sharia has commanded us to well behave with our parents, with our family and wives and children, with our relatives, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with the other people of society. So who will deny the importance and the need of that kind of things? And we will get the reward of hereafter, and we will get the worldly advantages as well when we will become well behaved with our parents and with our wives and with our even servants and with our neighbors. If we are well behaved, if we are fulfilling the responsibilities of our parents, so that would be beneficial for us in hereafter as well as in this world. And whosoever does good service for his parent, he is considered as a good person in the eyes of common people, in the eyes of worldly people. If we are well behaved, with our family, so our house would be full of peace. Our house would be full of happiness and joy. So that would be beneficial for us if we are well behaved with our children. And so it means if when we give happiness to our children, so they will give happiness to us. If we are good with our neighbors, so the neighbor would be very good with us. Then we can run our life with peace and comfort. If we are good with our servants and we are not rebuking them, we are not teasing them, we are not harming them, we are not creating any problem to them, so what would be the outcome of that? They will provide their services in the best way. When we are behaving them in the best way, so they will provide their services to us in the best way. So that is the summary of the commandments of Sharia regarding societal matter, regarding our behavior with other people. So I think no one can deny the importance and the advantages of these things. Now, the third thing, that is regarding manners. The manners of eating, drinking, sleeping, speaking, walking, communicating other people, and the matter of cleanliness. So who will deny the importance of that? If we are eating in with good manners, so that would be the beauty of our life. We will be considered as well-mannered people. Otherwise, we will be considered as uncivilized people. And now, when we eat according to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so eating is eating, but we will get a reward as well. If in beginning we recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, at the end we are reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we are praising Allah Azza wa Jal and we are paying gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, so that would be rewardable thing for us. And if we are eating according to sunnah, as we chew our morsel and we eat that properly, not we are just galloping that, so we will get worldly advantages of those. Similarly, in the matter of speaking, Sharia has given us guidance regarding speaking. Wala tusair khaddaka linnasi, don't turn away your faces in pride while you are speaking to other people. So if someone speaks to other people with pride and with arrogance, so he will be considered as arrogant and powerful person, and the people will avoid that person. But if he speaks to other people according to the sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he speaks to other people with a smiling face, he speaks other people good behavior with soft words and with good accent, the people will like that person. And as far as the matter of cleanliness, so Sharia has commanded us to make wuzu, to make ghusl, and to clean our body, to clean our clothes, to clean our place, to clean our vehicle, to clean our house, to clean everything what we are using. So if all these things are clean, so what would be the opinion of other people regarding us? They will say, mashallah, this person likes cleanliness and he is very civilized and well-mannered people. So these are the commandments of Sharia. If we follow these commandments, the people will like that. That's why I think there might be just that it's only misconception that people consider Sharia as difficult thing. Otherwise, most of the commandments of Sharia are very natural and a very common thing. Because as we say, the matter of belief, that there is no difficulty in those. The matter of belief is very easy. There is no difficulty in that. That might be far from the mindset of non-believer people because they don't have belief, but that is very easy. As far as the matter of worships, so the worships are in every religion. And then the matter of manners and the behavior and our attitude towards other people. So I think no one can deny that. These are very natural rules of life, what we have to follow. And every person follows that. Even in those countries who are not believers and they are not Muslims, they observe all these commandments in their business, in their life, in their behavior, in their attitude to other people. So I think there is no difficulty in these things. There might be some aspects of the commandment of Sharia which are considered as difficult for other people. Otherwise, as we have divided the commandment of Sharia in 7 kinds, so most of the kinds are very easy.
Dear viewers of Madri channel, indeed, whenever you are a practicing Muslim, each and every practice of yours is going to create some sort of difference in your life and in the life of others as well. If you are a practicing Muslim, your being practicing not only going to benefit you, but believe me, it will going to benefit our society as well and the people who are living around us as well. So follow and try to follow each and every commandment of Sharia. Here, let me give you a beautiful story which I heard from somewhere, that there was a Muslim who was not a practicing Muslim, and he was caught up in a very bad habit of drinking alcohol. So one day he was sitting and sharing a table with a non-believer, and he was also a drinker. So before taking the glass of alcohol, that Muslim very regretfully said that I'm unable to control myself, otherwise in my religion it is not allowed to drink alcohol. That was one sentence. So although he was committing that sin, but he was also, being a Muslim, showing that he does not like this thing, but because of his nafs, he is compelled by his nafs to do this thing. That non-believer who said, okay, so what is your religion? That Muslim said, my religion is Islam. That non-believer went, and then after a few months he accepted Islam. When he was asked that, what is the reason that you accepted Islam? You were a very bad man, you used to drink alcohol. So he said, actually, a friend of mine who was Muslim, he only told me one thing, and that one thing, or that one sentence of him, changed my entire life. That is, that he told me that in Islam it is not allowed to drink alcohol. So that one sentence got stuck in my mind, and I started thinking that, let me see, what is that religion which even prohibits drinking alcohol? Allahu Akbar. So he said that then I started visiting different websites and I started reading the books, and at the end I came to know that Islam is the true religion, and then I accepted Islam. Reviewers of Madri Channel, see that Muslim, he was committing a sin, but at least he had one thing in his mind, that this thing is wrong, and then he expressed that feeling of guilty in front of that non-believer, and because of this sentence, or because of this confession, that non-believer became a Muslim. So wherever you are, try to be practicing Muslim and try to tell others as well, because in this way not only you are going to get benefit, but the society and the people who are living around you will also be able to get benefit. Acha Mustafa, there is another aspect, there is another thing, halal and haram. According to Islam, there are many things which are not halal, which are not allowed for Muslims to eat, but other people, they eat, followers of other religions. So especially those brothers who are living in Western countries, or living in those countries where Muslims are not in majority. So they have been heard saying that the halal haram issue is very difficult. There are a lot of restrictions, and living in those countries, we are unable to follow these restrictions. So what would you say about this?
I would say, if the list of halal and haram is found in Islam, so is there no list in the law of any country where there is no halal and haram, means lawful and unlawful? In every country, there is a list of lawful and unlawful, which is called legal and illegal. Legal and illegal things are in every country and in every law. So similarly, this thing is found in Islam. If we read the list of the legal and illegal things of any country, really that list would be bigger than the list of the commandments of Islam. Because as we know, how many articles in every law? Might be 1,000, might be 300, might be 400. And if we read the list of lawful and unlawful in Islam, that would be equal to that or less than that. So that's why legal and illegal, lawful and unlawful is everywhere. No one can deny that. Otherwise, this world would be the world of beasts. The people will fight each other, they will kill each other, they will snatch the wealth of each other, they will attack over the honor and the respect of other people. So that's why in every country there is a list of legal and illegal. And as Islam is a law of Allah Azza wa Jal, so when other laws have many articles, similarly, the law of Allah Azza wa Jal has many articles which are called commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, commandments of religion, or commandments of Islam. And what are those commandments regarding halal and haram? Haram means sin. and halal means lawful things. Lawful things, so I think no one will object on that, because that thing is halal, that thing, because, for example, marriage is halal and eating lawful things are halal. So there is no objection on halal things. The main problem with people is regarding unlawful things, with illegal things. That's why criminals are not disappointed with lawful things. They are disappointed with unlawful things. Why are these things unlawful? Why are these things illegal? That should be legal for us. So arrogance is unlawful and haram in Sharia. So arrogance means to consider other people as inferior to us. So that is very good commandment. That must be, because to consider other people as inferior to us, that is against the dignity of human being. Then teasing other people is haram. So that is obvious thing. Teasing other people, harming other people must be haram. And that is illegal in worldly law as well. And that is illegal in the law of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then if we go to the list of unlawful things, really most of them would be unlawful in the worldly laws as well. But as a Muslim, we have to focus upon something else. Though according to the laws of some country, some things are unlawful and we have to avoid those, because we have to follow the laws of country. But because as a Muslim, we have to think about some other things as well. And that is the commandment of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is getting the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is trying to abstain from the wrath of Allah Azza wa Jal and from the ghadab of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because that is most important for every Muslim. And then our focus would be upon the reward of following the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. What is that? Because as a Muslim, we believe that every person would pass away. Everyone knows that. But we have to be resurrected on the day of judgment. That is our belief. One day we would be made alive again. Mm-hmm. And we have to be present in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is another aspect of our life. And we have to prepare for that world. And when we pass away, that time we must be good bondmen of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that we can listen to those words which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in the Holy Quran. Ya ayyadhu an-nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. O soul, come back towards me in the state that you are pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with you. And then enter into my bondman and then enter into my paradise. So we are in the need of that sentence at our death time. So that is the objective of a life of a Muslim. So that's why our focus is not only upon the worldly advantages and worldly benefits of these laws. Our main focus is upon the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And particularly on the day of judgment, we have to be accountable in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we have to give answer regarding our deeds. So that's why we have some other aspect, we have some other point of view regarding life and death. And worldly people are the non-believer, they have some other point of view regarding life and death. So when our point of view is totally different from their point of view, so that's why we have to act upon regarding that. So I think the list of halal and haram, as that is found in every law, so similarly that is found in the law of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Dear viewers of Madhvi channel, as list of halal and haram, legal or illegal things, can be found in any law of any country, in the same way it obviously can be found in Islam as well. And then what a beautiful point which Mufti Sahib raised, that our ultimate goal is hereafter. We are going towards a destination and we want to reach that destination while we are successful and safe and sound in terms of our iman. So our final destination is hereafter. Our ultimate goal is hereafter, and then the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of judgment, we want to be standing in the row of those people who are obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who are believers in Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Master sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So whatever you are doing, your first goal or your intention should be earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then there come some other worldly benefits and advantages as well. So I make dua that may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us practicing Muslim and give us tawfiq to understand the reasons and the wisdoms behind the commandments of Sharia, which are surely in our favor. Ameen, ameen, bijahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because